May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're going to be in Isaiah 41 again today, and again, I apologize for the CTKers, because today and yesterday kind of make up what we're going to do Sunday, unless the Lord changes direction. But hopefully God will add some things that will be better. And plus, if you come on Sunday, we'll like give you a free coffee cup. No, we really aren't going to do that at all. But you could bring a coffee cup because we could probably use it. So, but we're not going to give you anything except Jesus. Hopefully Jesus. And this is from Isaiah 41 again. So I'm going to read it to you translated right as we'd started yesterday. It says in verse 3, he pursues us, passing through our lives as a trusted friend. By a way he has not traveled into our lives before. Who has performed and who has accomplished? Calling forth a stone heap and a dwelling place from beginning. I, the Lord, am the first and with the last, and I am. Let me read it to you again. We're talking about the fact that there are just times, if you read the one thing devotional I talked about today in terms of wilderness, it says in Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1, that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. He didn't just happen to get tempted. He led Jesus, with whom he was well pleased, into the wilderness, knowing that the devil awaited him there. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, says, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? God uses the wilderness to change us. He knows we're going to get changed. The devil's there, he's there, and we're going to get changed one way or the other. We're going to come out of that place beleaguered and bitter, or more in love than we've ever been before with Jesus. And so there are just times when the Lord travels through our lives in paths that are just different. You ever experienced that before? Maybe you're going to a season now that just doesn't even make sense necessarily. Could be even confusing. I remember when I first got married, after about 6 or 7 weeks, Livia was pregnant. And we went to Birmingham with our friends to celebrate. And she started having problems that night, and she had problems for 7 weeks. She was watching the 700 Club. Back then, Pat Robertson was giving lots of words of knowledge in the 700 Club. And at some point, towards the end of the thing, he says, there's someone here who's only been pregnant for so long. And he describes the conditioning. God's healing. That baby's going to be fine. So we stood. And after 7 weeks, we lost the baby. No, we didn't lose. We know where John is. He's in heaven. But it seemed to contradict everything, and it just blew Livia's doors off. Having been mentally ill, I can't afford for things to blow my doors off too bad, because my doors get blown off a lot farther than other people's doors get blown off. And so I had to go back to things I knew, because none of it made sense. You know, we couldn't hear the nonsense. We didn't believe enough. That's just nonsense. Nonsense. I don't know. Neither do you. Don't try to tell me. I just know there were a couple of things I remembered. God was big and God was good. And that's what brought us to us. I said, Livia, here's the only thing I know. God is good. God is big. And somehow our son, we knew intuitively by the Spirit, our son laid his life down for us and gave us the greatest gift he could ever give.
Thank you, Lord.
A plot in the wilderness where we fell in love with Jesus even more. And we learned to lean on him more than ever before. And it was a transforming place for us. And I still can't give you all the answers, though I believe God wants to heal. I'd go after that. We're going after every person to get healed, right?
Amen.
His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and I don't understand all that. But that was one of those places in our life where the Lord traveled through our lives in a weird way he had never traveled through before. And the tendency was to question his goodness, to question everything. Will we ever trust a word of knowledge again? Yeah, more than ever. You got to come to a place in your life where God's goodness is never on trial.
Amen.
Or you'll never grow in the Lord. And so, all we knew is that the Lord reigns and the Lord is good and the Lord is big, and he was traveling in a way that would never come before. But we came to a settled place that the one who had done that was a trusted friend. He had no ill intentions. And then the scripture says this amazing thing. He is always in pursuit of us. You do know that, right? Just because he's got you doesn't mean he isn't pursuing more of you. He's always in pursuit of more and more and more. He wants to be your all in all. He wants to be the love of your life. He wants your heart to be an all-consumed fire, because he's an all-consuming fire. And it says, in always pursuing us, he passes on like a trusted friend through your life by a way that he has not traversed before. Who has performed it? Wasn't the devil. You know, I believe devil does stuff in a fallen world, yeah. But God never wants a Christian to walk through a place and go, okay, did I not get it just right? Did I not say the formula just perfectly? Not confess it just exactly? That is so demonic. That's the demonic. He says, the Lord performed this thing. He was performing something in us. The enemy is after our heart. He's always after our heart. That's his great goal. He says, the Lord was in this. Even if the devil was involved, the Lord was still there. And the Lord accomplished something. And here's what he accomplished, because this is what he does. And it doesn't have to involve that, the sickness. You most other things. God doesn't send sickness as a result of the fall, right? But God can use in the process it for his glory, though it's not the source because of the result of the fall. We contend for every healing. But God's hands aren't tied by the devil.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, you're in real trouble, because eventually you're going to hit a place and nothing's going to make sense and you're going to have no path to walk in. Again, what did I say? I didn't say God causes these things. I just said God causes them to all work together for good. Causes all things. Greek and all, the word all in Greek is all. It's real complicated. But what he's doing in every situation, regardless of the thing that the enemy's bringing or the circumstance or in this fallen world, I can assure you this. Even if he calls forth an example of God's glory, getting healed, yada, 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 he's after this. Calling forth the generations, and the word generations is the word stone heap. He says he's been doing this from the beginning. In the Old Testament, a stone heap was left by the Israelites every time God moved in some profound way. When God did something. When they encountered God. And they would leave a stone heap as a testimony of we encountered God here. And God was extremely active here. As a memorial, not only as a memorial, the Hebrew word means stone heap or dwelling place. And on that memorial, they would always honor that. We get upset about shrines and things like that, but it's like an Old Testament shrine. There was an anointing. There was a smeared leftover presence of God in that stone heap. And people would go there and encounter God. Because that place of testing, and many of them were in the wilderness on the way to Canaan, that place of testing became oiled with the presence of God as a testimony that God had been here. And it became a permanent dwelling place of his presence. In other words, what's God calling? What's he calling forth? He's calling forth us to encounter him in those times that he passes through in ways that are odd and different. To seek him, to not become bitter and beleaguered, but become more and more his beloved. So that we so encounter him, we so know his supernatural activity in that situation, either through healing or sustaining us through a circumstance or whatever, that he so harvests our hearts in a new level that that part of our life becomes a permanent manifestation of the presence of God. It becomes a dwelling place. People can see it in you. They don't see the scars of bitterness. They just see the presence of God on you in areas that are profound, that are life-changing in other people's lives. Because the Lord said, I'm the Lord, I'm the first, and I'm the last, and I am. Because it's all about him being all that to us. I want to be the first to you. I want to be the last to you. I want to be all in all to you. And in this fallen world, where the battleground is our hearts, sometimes the Lord allows circumstances, situations that come up where he travels in ways you don't know. But the whole thing is he's wanting to call forth you to be a living testimony of his presence.
That's great.
Of your set-apart heart to him in a new way. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.